Today we are chatting with Lynn Gordon. We're going to learn a little bit about her sight loss journey and about her book. Yes, she's a budding new author. Lynn, thank you very much for joining us.
Pleasure.
So tell me, Lynn, a little bit about yourself, first of all.
I live in North Lanarkshire. I am originally from Liverpool, as you may know from the accent, but I married a Scotsman and moved up here in 1982. I and both my sisters and I have one cousin who are all blind due to hereditary retinitis pigmentosa. We all lost our sight gradually over our lifetime. I used to have relatively good sight when I was younger. You know, I could read magazines and comics, but I'm talking about 40-odd, 50 years ago, and it just gradually deteriorated over the course of my lifetime until probably around about my early to mid-20s, I started to need magnifying aids. And then over the years, I lost that ability as well, and I now use mostly talking aids. I did work for a long time in the railway industry, and I had a lot of help with devices on my computer that would enlarge the screen. And in the last sort of, I would say, 10 years or so, with the advancement of all the various technologies, I've just started to learn how to use different things like voiceover facility. I use voiceover to find my way around social media, which I'm still learning about, and to do emails and texts and so on. So for a long time, I felt I was in the wilderness with regards to technology, because I thought that's only for people who can see, because all these smartphones are just all touchscreen and what have you. And then one day I discovered, well, no, actually, there is a facility for people with visual impairment. So I got right into it, and I've never looked back since. It's wonderful.
Sounds like it. In terms of losing your sight, Lynn, you talked about using things like magnifiers and so on. So you've kind of embraced different types of technology over the years as well. Was that a determination in you to carry on with education and employment that kind of helped with that?
I think so, yes. I went to a mainstream school. I could have gone to a school for visually impaired, but I really didn't want to, because when I was young, I didn't want to be any different from anybody else, and I was determined just to soldier on as best I could. And I did reasonably well at school. I remained in the top class right through my secondary education. But as the years were going on, I was struggling more and more. I mean, I used to be able to see the blackboard from the back of the class, and then I had to move to the middle, and then I had to move to the front. And even then, sometimes I would struggle. And in those days, that was the sort of the mid-70s, so jobs were easy to come by then. You know, I left school and went straight into a job as a telephonist, and then my career was always in sort of admin office-based jobs, which I thoroughly enjoyed. But after, gosh, I was probably in my mid-20s, I decided to go to night school, and that's when I needed more and more help with things, you know, like reading aids, like the magnifying glasses and so on. And that was a bit of a struggle, but I decided I wanted to persevere to prove to nobody other than myself that I could acquire these qualifications. So I did that for a few years, and I have to say my company that I work for supported me in that as well. And I got myself an HNC in business studies, which I felt so proud of myself when I got that. It was the first real significant qualification that I'd had. And then I went on and I did some counselling courses. So I do have certificates in counselling skills. And yeah, that really made me feel good and made me feel, right, you know, just because I can't see very well doesn't mean I can't do these things. I try not to let my disability get in my way of doing something that I really want to do.
It's interesting, Lynn, how you have this really positive outlook, and you've had that obviously from such a very early age as well. But another point you make there was, you know, you didn't want to go to a school for kids with visual impairments, you know, maybe that stigma, or, you know, wanting to stay in schools with your friends.
Yes, absolutely, yes. As I say, when you're 12 and 13 in your early teens and going through your teens, I don't think you want to be different. You want to just fit in with everybody, or that's the way I felt. You know, plus I had a network of friends from my local area who were all, you know, in those days it was right, this is where you live, this is the school you go to, and that's it. There wasn't any say in the matter, and I just wanted to, you know, follow suit with the group of friends that I had, and indeed that's what I did. But as I say, it was difficult at times, it was a struggle, and I kind of secretly just begged for each term to be over with so I could get a break from school. You know, there was nothing detrimental at my school. It's just that I felt as if it was an enormous struggle for me. And I tended to keep that to myself as well. Sometimes I would think it's easier to pretend I don't know the answer to this question than actually I can't see what the question is on the blackboard type of thing, which when I look back was a very silly way to be, but I was a youngster and that's the way I felt.
You've learned a lot since.
Absolutely, yes, definitely.
So new technology and so on came in and you used that through your years of working as well. But where or when did this love of books come in, you know, reading and writing?
Well, I always did enjoy writing. When I was at school, I used to write little poems, just, you know, 4 or 8 line little poems and what have you. And I always enjoyed that. And I even used to write little plays for a group of our friends to put on in the drama classes after school. And I really did enjoy that. I haven't read a printed book since probably about the early to mid-70s or something. And then, as I say, I felt as if I was in the wilderness for a little while because suddenly I couldn't read books. And I just thought, oh, well, OK, that's just a part of my life that's over now kind of thing. I have to find other interests. But my mum, who was also blind, she always had audiobooks from the RNIB. You're maybe too young to remember, Alan, but it was on a great big machine which took an 8-track cassette. It was a big monstrosity of a thing that weighed a ton. So she had them, and I thought, this is a great idea. I'm going to do that for myself. So round about the probably about the late 80s, I got in touch with the RNIB and I told them a bit about myself and said I'd like to have one of these. So up come one in the post a little while later, and I never looked back from there because I could then join in and have the joy of all the books that other people were talking about. And I thought, gosh, this is amazing. Why didn't I do this years ago? Now you get them on the little miniature pen drivers, you know. So, you know, it's come on a long way since this great big thing that we used to haul around like a suitcase. So I've always liked to write down. Sometimes it's almost like a little diary, just putting things in about, you know, what's happened in your day or what have you. Or we went through a particularly difficult time when my mum was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and I started writing a lot down each day, a bit like a journal. I was writing things because I could write, but it got to the stage, I can't read this, even though I was trying to write it really big. And then I'd show it to somebody to read and say, what was it I said there a few days ago? And my writing was so bad that it could barely be read. So then I got myself, would you believe, an iPhone, and I bought a little cheap and cheerful keyboard, Bluetooth keyboard, and I used to use the notes facility in my iPhone, and I started typing away at everything I wanted to do, and that was it. There was no stopping me after that.
So, you were off.
Yes, I have.
And you've published a book now.
I have. I published a book last November. It's a biography, and it's about living with sight loss, and it's about difficulties that me and my two sisters went through when my dad passed away, and then just weeks before that, my mum was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. So the prospect of her then being on her own with a new diagnosis of Alzheimer's was, we were just all scratching our heads saying, well, what do we do here? So we determined between the three of us that we wanted my mum to remain in her own home and that we would care for her. Now, that was a 9-year period of a lot of tears, as you can imagine, a lot of joy as well, a lot of frustration, a lot of battling with social services to get the help that we needed for mum. But we managed that, and that's basically what my book is about, living with sight loss and then coping with this quite traumatic situation that the three of us found ourselves in. And I have to say that writing the book was so helpful to me after my mum passed away. I'd kept a lot of notes on my thoughts and my feelings and things, you know, different things and different difficulties that we'd overcome, and different joyful episodes that because they can sometimes get lost when you're going through, you know, such a difficult period. I decided I would put all this together and make a book out of it. And then I eventually found a company in Glasgow in the author's world who would self-publish my book for me, which was amazing. So the whole process took me about 4 years in all. But when I held the book in my hand for the first time last November, oh my goodness, I can't tell you how amazing that was. It was just the best feeling ever. Even though I couldn't physically read the book, just holding it and touching it and fanning through the pages and saying, this is mine, I did this. It was just amazing.
Would you say it's a very positive book, despite the sight loss, despite the problems that your mum had?
It is in a lot of ways, because I don't just talk about that difficult period. I go back to times, you know, in our younger days and how my mum never let anything get in the way. She was very positive and quite a formidable person. I talk about that a lot, and other members of my family. Sadly, there was quite a bit of difficulty towards the end of my mum's life with difficulties within the family, which led to a lot of family breakup. Fortunately, me and my two sisters, we've come through all that, and we're all doing, you know, really quite well in our lives now. It was good to get it all off my chest. But I do think what I'd like to think as well is that dementia and Alzheimer's are so prevalent these days. You know, there's always, you know, you're always hearing something about it. What I would like to think is that even through the darkest times that we went through, if people were to read it and think, well, those three blind girls come through this. So, you know, as awful as this is, we can deal with it. And we can look back on it and say, well, yeah, we did this right and we did this okay. And we think this helped. And we can look back on the positives and you know, hopefully that might encourage other people who are facing similar difficulties.
To get the book to as many people as possible, then, were you keen to make sure it could be available in accessible formats?
I've spoken to the RNIB. I have got an audio version, but that's just my own personal copy at the moment. That was done by a volunteer, so I am looking into the process of trying to get it done on audio. And In the Author's World have also volunteered to do the book in large print, which I think is wonderful. So I'm looking into that possibility as well.
Lynn, it's a fascinating story. You know, it's all there for people to read in the book as well. So I suppose it's only right that, you know, we finish things off by saying, if people would like to find out more about you and more about the book, what's the best way for people to do that?
Well, I do have a Facebook page. It's Lynn Gordon Author. That's LynnGordon Author. And that tells you a little bit about myself. It shows pictures of the book cover, and it gives a synopsis and tells a little bit about the book and why I wrote it, etc. I also have an email account which is specifically for my book, which is lynngordonauthor@gmail.com.
Lynn, we wish you all the best of luck with the book, especially when you get it into the accessible formats as well. But for the moment, thank you for speaking with us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Oh, thank you, Alan. My pleasure.